and stuff, and then you'll apply for the first off-site externship, and then there's the CCE.
It wasn't
like,
this year.
I heard it was tough this year. There's
some people haven't gotten the placements yet.
You know what? It's like internship. There's not enough slots for everybody because programs are taking more and more students, and places in this economy are coming down.
The train people know what's going on.
The train people.
You guys are hearing the room.
Okay, so I have one interview for transcription purposes. Who would like to take it? It's all relative, right?
Who's gonna take it out of guilt?
Well, I know Jennifer has taken some this, and you took one, right?
Not initially.
Okay. Right. Hey. So, should I flip a coin?
Well, that's, no, I did take one. That's right.
I thought you did. So that it's between you, you, and you.
She lets me hide herself.
She should be hide herself.
She's like, who, me?
Who, me? But actually, Aja was just doing this out of the kindness of her heart, right? This is
me
no.
Too. I'll do it. I thought
you were doing this service disparity.
No, I found something else, remember?
Okay.
Because,
so,
me?
It's
no,
like
no
you.
Coins, but things to be done.
All right, now these, I believe, are the same.
Okay.
They were just copies of each other, but could you just verify that?
Disparity.
Okay,
that's
all
right. Fine by me.
I have another volunteering
okay.
That I really like. So.
Maybe that'll fuck you. If you have that one.
But I'm going to do this anyway.
She's, you know, it's interesting. We're still experimenting. The one, we were able to recover the visual, but not the audio. So we're going to try it again. Just keep trying. But you obviously need both for coding purposes. So. But thank you for your help on that. So, we're just really cranking here.
Everybody looks so good.
Man, really impressed. Just like, yeah, whatever.
No,
all
it's,
right.
You know, I get like, this is like, I think I'm not like, you know, it's like, how far are we into school? Like, I'm glad just get tired. But let's see.
Well, maybe
that was great reflective listening. We're totally in the present moment.
You know, next week we bring some ephedrine and
pass it out. Oh my gosh.
5-hour energy is my drug of choice.
Vivarin?
But no, 5-hour energy.
A 5-hour energy shot? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know about your wine idea because then everyone's just going to be more of a little pretty silly. No, we're going to have like.
Hey, you were going to bring food every now and then.
Every now and then. Every now and then.
This is more.
We'll see how
much.
We'll see if we get any grant money for food now. I'll bring in food every now and then when we get started.
Laura and I applied for a small grant to pay you guys, and it's actually saving her money because you guys get paid regardless.
Yeah.
But there's no category in the grant for food.
No, and they're probably, and even if I got the whole grant I applied to, food would be extra because that'll just cover paying. So, but we'll do some fun things.
Do some fun things? Yeah, like what?
Hot luck teaser.
Did you see glass
over? I can't. Thursday is the longest day. I'm sorry. It's a silly video.
All right, so we have video, we have the items, and hopefully we have all of you in your comments on the
question.
Yeah.
I probably should know this, but when you find out our like reliabilities, what are they like averaged against? Like what's like the baseline? What are you comparing them to?
Each other.
Just each other, but
yeah.
Each other. Okay.
What I've learned through the years is that the people who have the highest averages are the ones that are seeing what you're supposed to be seeing.
How do you know that more people are just not seeing the wrong thing?
Well, that's why we meet, so that I can help you follow the path.
The righteous.
The righteous path. Yes, I'm considering myself to be the gold standard, and so I'm training all of you guys, and Laura's helping to make sure that we're.
And our Q sorts are pretty, because we did some work where we compared your and my Q sorts and how we were seeing sessions, and they were pretty close by the end of my supervision year. So if you're correlating well with me, not to, you know, be narcissistic, but you know, that it's probably a good thing if you're correlating well with me.
You've heard of cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, Laura is next to Jeff.
Well, I am physically next to you, yes. But yeah, I mean, so Jeff supervised me. Jeff supervises you as well, right? So you're probably seeing things kind of in line with that. It's like dynamic supervision, so.
Well, actually, your ideal Q sort really shot up the second time.
Oh, for the ideal second.
Yeah. All right. So, did people bring their printouts? Did you print it out? Or?
Not the whole thing.
Yeah. It's a yes or no question.
Aren't we on, like, toner rations for the rest of the year?
I didn't even consider that as something to do.
Can we put it up on the screen?
I don't think I saved it electronically.
I
could do that in the future. Well, that's
true.
Internet?
Yeah.
You probably have it in your app box as well.
In your email? Because then we could look down the line.
I just looked at
So the other new piece of news is that this research was accepted to be presented at a conference at the end of June, which means data needs to be collected by the end of June,
so
and
we have
possibly
something to
by
say.
The beginning of June, so that I can prepare what I'm going to say, and I'm really nervous because I've never presented at a conference before.
And what's worse, this is at the major...
Oh, don't worry, there's nothing to it. It's
Oh, thanks.
He'll go in your place, I guess.
You
This conference is the major international conference of psychotherapy researchers. This is the conference, the annual conference, the Society for Psychotherapy Research.
Where is it?
It's going to be held.
It's
going to
be in
near
Northern
San
California.
Francisco.
Yeah. Now, last
at
year,
a beach resort.
That's
I don't know
true.
How warm
it's true.
It'll be in June,
last then. Year, I went and I presented the TFP data.
That
Sylvie actually helped code and Dustin. No, you worked on Linnae's.
Oh yeah.
But you actually worked on Kia's data. Yes. Yeah, so Sylvia was a veteran of that. I presented those data, and that was in Santiago, Chile.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So that was a lot of fun. This year it's in Northern California, and I had one accepted with Lene, and you had one accepted with me. Sadly, though, and this is the cause of Laura's anxiety, the conference organizers, for some reason, scheduled both presentations simultaneously, and I emailed these people back. I said, you know, I can't clone myself for this. You know, I can't be both places at once. And essentially, they said, too bad.
Is Lene going?
I don't know if she's going yet. But I'll be presenting that. So
first
I'm first author on Lene's and Laura's first author on hers. So I will present with Lene if she goes. That
I
means
doubt
that
she'll go. She has two kids. So
I think
doing Lene's and I'm gonna be on my own unless
so
I can
Laura will
it,
be
so.
On her own. She's never presented before at a conference. And it's the international conference.
It's
it
awesome.
Is the major conference in the world.
Awesome.
Thanks for adding that last part. I mean, I think it'll be fine. I'll practice with you guys.
But
you guys should all show up and heckle.
So the most important thing is that we need to finish this by the beginning of June, which might be a relief to you guys because that means we'll finish like around the end of the semester and this will bleed into your summer. But you know, so I have something to present. It's really important. And even if we get started with a real video, if we do like one more practice and get started with real videos, at some point, if reliabilities are good, we might have to bump to 2 a week, maybe towards the end or something. So, and maybe some groups would be willing to do that and some groups not. But, you know, so, but there's a time constraint at this point that's pretty fixed. So.
Yep.
I appreciate everybody having such high reliability so that our practice.
Yeah, you guys are
so
doing
short.
Really well. I mean, I'm surprised. You remember how long it took us to get reliable and with Kia's group? And
yeah.
And Linnaeus as well. You guys are really doing well, but you know, what did I say? Complacency is the enemy of what?
Reliability.
So you can't rest on your laurels or your Lauras. So
I don't know how many people are going to be there. I mean, this panel is so random.
What do you mean? You don't know how many people are going to be there. It's the psychodynamic panel.
I know. That's such a random panel. I thought I would be on the process research panel.
I don't know how they...
The word psychodynamic is in the title, so they probably was like, oh,
that could be.
Yeah, it's so there's different panels going on at different times on different topics, in different rooms on different topics, and the 10:30 on Saturday slot, Jeff is in a different panel.
They can't just move his car?
Well, we're trying to.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of people presenting over a 5-day period, and
I'm surprised that this problem doesn't come up all the time.
It does, but they figured because there were different first authors. See, they saw that Jeff was first author on one and second author on the other. So they didn't know I was a doctoral student. They figured like maybe we were like co-researchers or something. They didn't realize that I kind of needed my second author there. They didn't think of that. They thought, whatever.
I emailed them, and they proposed a possible scenario. If somebody drops out of your panel, they're going to move me to her panel, so I actually presenting at the same time.
In
the same time period. So I could be there physically to help her.
But this is not a poster, right?
This is no, this, so this is more than a poster. So
like, I'm and the really ABCT, that's the only big one I've been to. So I mentioned this one. It's like, would you know, there'd be like a...
Yeah, like, did you, when you went to ABCT, did you see some graduate students giving like a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation within a panel of four? I saw a bunch of those.
And then there's posters. I just like picked like the big, a bunch of the big ones. So yeah. I mean, the ones I went to had like a lot of people, you know, like an hour long. So I
went to like smaller ones that were like panels of like four studies would be presented.
You get like 20 people, 30 people attending. It's not that many people really. Yeah. In
because
each
several
panel.
Are running at once. So people
right.
kind of pick which one
many
they want
of them
to see
running at once. Yeah.
So that'll be a cool turnout. And
well, you know, perhaps everyone will come to mine and no one will come to yours, and then all the pressure will be off.
Yeah, but then I'll be like,
we'll be in we're in competition.
$1,000 to me. And why is no
I
one
think
here?
It's almost worse because if you have three people, then you really have to show off because at least these three people need to know that they came for something or something like that.
So, you know, it'll be great to present and have it on my CV. I think we indicated that I wanted to be considered for like a graduate student award, you know, if the, you know, some presentation is entered in that, which would offset some of the cost. And, you know, it's presenting is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you put it on your CV under posters and presentations and it's good. And
that and $2 will get you a ride in any subway in town. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, for postdocs, if you're going to apply for a postdoc, you need to have something like that. There's no excuse not to. And some faculty really encourage that, and you want to work with faculty like that.
Yeah, you're really proactive. Jeff is, if you work with Jeff, he's very proactive with like getting grants, publishing, giving presentations. Other people sort of are sort of like, you know, you do your dissertation and you get out. But, and it's a personal preference which way you want to go.
Is it like for postdoc, isn't it, it's like an already training? That kind of postdoc?
No. It is. There are a variety of postdocs. You're right. If it's strictly like a psychoanalytic postdoc, they're not going to look for posters.
They're not going to.
No. All right. So, you guys remember from 2 weeks ago when you actually did this? We lost a little momentum last week, which is regrettable, but nothing we can do about that now. So, if you have questions about the Q sorting you did from 2 weeks ago, we can talk about it. We have the rate, everybody's ratings. We have video. If you want to look at videotape, we've got the items. We're ready to go. Was that a pin I just heard?
I'm trying to find it.
See, Laura has, look at this. Look at the notes. See that? All right, yeah, let's, okay.
We could read from our notes if it'll jog people's memories, yeah, or...
Let's just talk about the session for 2 minutes. Like, she had, so we can
sure.
kind of...
Yeah, like she I just saw period. It this afternoon, so it's fresh in my mind.
Like she got her period. So she started...
Well, spot. Do we think she really did, or do we think she made it up?
Well, I mean, that's what she said, at least.
Yeah.
Face out.
Yeah. Okay.
It never occurred to me that she might have made it up.
Just because it happened like right after the session where she was so excited anticipating it, and then well,
so I was confused because she left at the end of the first session. She said she wasn't going to be there for the next session because.
Well, actually, these are presented in random order, right? You're not putting.
I have no way of knowing what the order is. They're just random numbers attached to them, so I'm just dragging the whatever.
Yeah. So let's not assume. Yeah. Let's not assume that this is the session immediately
Although
following
the
one we just
saw. They said we talked about it last time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they could
something
have talked
like,
about
oh,
it
last time
session.
You were really
that
excited.
There was no break with like Sarah went away or something.
There might have been a break.
Maybe to control for that, just randomly select. Don't go in an order. Just randomly select videos for us. You know,
I mean,
if
I
you guys
to,
are really
I just,
good,
I had to select them out of other videos of like, different. So I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think the one I forgot to upload it last night, so it's uploading now. But I think this one, which I looked at, seems different. It seems like it's in a different time period. So.
Also, I think we're nearing the end of training. I'm hoping that I'm going to need. Copies of all those videos. So I could give you a huge flash drive or you could give me something and I could drag them.
Yeah, I don't know. You need like a 16 gigabyte flash drive.
I have a 64.
Oh.
So that'll work. So should I give it to you?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll do that next week.
And I need to get my DVDs to you then.
Mm-hmm.
You think next week, or we'll see other liabilities. I mean,
I'm
bringing
it doesn't hurt to get to them as soon as possible.
I don't have class next week, but I'll come out. I'll come out for this because especially
think of all the pressure. The end of June, you have to have something to say.
Yeah, I know. I was debating whether or not I was going to be able to be at this meeting next week, but I have to get the DVDs to you, so I'll be here next week and I'll give those to you. And there's like 54, so there'll be a lot to randomize, and two different therapists, so some weeks you might see me, and some trauma, and it'll be more random.
No, I was just thinking of next week. In the morning, I have like a small procedure that I will have done, so it's likely that I'll be able to come. My plan is to come to class and to the meeting, but the doctor said I might have something going on, and I might not come, so I'll let you know. I don't know until like this is done. I'm doing it at 10 in the morning, so...
Okay, if they have to wheel you in on a stretcher, so they want to
I'll
see you here.
I'll get here. No, it's nothing big. It's just like you might have some side effects and, you know, you might have to be at home or something like that. So we'll see.
You might be the life of the party.
Because I guess then if we're starting real videos, then we'll pair up groups next week. We'll pair up pairs. So, I mean, we can't make it all the time.
Well, Sylvia and Dustin are a natural pair. They already are paired.
I think, yeah.
We're doing good with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's
good. And the others I'll figure out. So. All right, so... So Sylvia, you wanted to just summarize the session or whatever. We talked about the spotting.
There was a period going on and the whole pack. What?
As well as you as well, like
yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's going to a dance with her grandparents.
Yeah,
everyone else for bringing.
But her
dads.
Uncle used to be her grandfather. Now she's bringing her uncle this time.
Right.
Yeah.
No, she's still bringing her grandfather.
She
wanted to bring
her sister.
She's
bringing her uncle.
She's bringing
she's
her
upset
grand.
About that. Oh, right. She wanted to bring the uncle for the first time, but stuck with the grandfather.
Yeah. It was her sister's birthday too, I think that week.
Yeah.
It had just been her sister's birthday.
I'm so intrigued by that like, family situation. She lives with her grandparents, obviously. So where's the mom? But mom's sort of in the picture? But I'm just being nosy. I know.
Yeah. Like the friend who she was fighting with.
Yeah.
Now this conversation so far has been very content based. It's interesting.
Well,
I'm listening to you and you're talking about the content. What about the process?
Well, there was that part when she was talking about being the smartest, the brightest, and
So Sarah made an intervention
yeah.
in which she pointed out the shift in content,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which in my head, I don't know if that was the case, because as I said, I didn't know if it was following session, but what I pictured was your supervision with Sarah about the session before yeah, where she didn't do it, and then the session after where she was like, by the way.
Yeah.
yeah, and I like totally saw myself in yeah. this kind of things, you know, when you were told in supervision, you should have done that, and then you're like,
That's exactly what happened.
That's why I thought it was also like temporally kind of right after, because it seemed like she was sort of, yeah. she had taken something yeah. from the previous session.
You're probably right.
And that was a shift. She was not liking that.
Yeah, and then she became more direct, or Cheyenne, the yeah. girl, became more directive with the play, right, after mm-hmm. following that interpretation of that.
So then what Sarah could have done is point out to Cheyenne, oh, look what happened now. I pointed out something to you about a shift in our conversation, and you in turn began to become more directing me in play and not really wanted to talk anymore. I wonder whether you felt hurt yeah. by my comment.
She kind of did. She said, like, you know, you kind of changed the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
But the response to that by Cheyenne was to focus strictly on play and yeah. just really stop talking mm-hmm. altogether.
She's like,
I'm
bored.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah.
Boredom, boredom usually equals angry.
Angry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk.
Yeah, like, I'm
exactly.
really
angry. So, but rather than highlighting that for Cheyenne, Sarah just kind of let it go, mm-hmm. and then they played for the rest of the session.
But it feels like sometimes that, I mean, that's my impression, that she nailed him to the wall by saying, I'm bored, because, you know, if she says, oh, look at it, now you're directing me in play, she could have said, oh, I told you I was bored. You know, so it's like, I feel for Sarah in the sense that, like, it's kind of scary, so, mm-hmm. like, she kind of said, oh, okay, and they kind of moved on.
Well, then what's required there is an interpretation of the boredom. So sometimes kids get bored when they're feeling kind of annoyed by something that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and things kind of seem bored to them when they're really annoyed in the back of their mind.
Okay.
Saying something like that. Mm-hmm. So the back of the mind is symbolic of the unconscious.
Okay. And what you would always say to me is like, and you'll probably see this in my sessions, is that could be met with like total silence, but the child heard it. And that's the important thing, that they heard mm-hmm. it. Like, even mm-hmm. if the child says, well, I'm still bored, let's play, you know, at least like it...
You got it out there.
It was put out there,
it's
and then
the
you can let it go.
For future discussion.
After that.
Like, there's like a card like,
No, it has to be. It has to be verbalized, but we can look at the item.
Noticing he does.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, even if they like nod or something, maybe you could place it a little higher. But like, otherwise, you don't really know.
But she did later on say something about how like sometimes she gets angry and pushes her sister or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, right. Maybe really? Child conveys awareness of own internal difficulties.
Yeah.
Place toward characteristic direction. If child verbalizes or expresses through play awareness of his difficulties or conflicts.
I don't know what this, I'm not sure exactly what this means in this note, but I have right after she says she's bored that she starts singing a poem about punishment is eating cauliflower. Oh, wait. No, I remember that.
Some yeah. other little boy wrote that down.
Right, but she thought of it at that point.
Yeah.
So she.
Well, there was a little bit.
We could assume that she might have felt punished by Sarah's comment,
uh-huh.
and that's why the poem came to her mind. She's feeling punished because she talked about something that Sarah, or she changed the subject, and that was being a bad patient, you know. And so she felt punished by Sarah pointing that out, that you changed the subject. So that's why I think she brought up that poem.
Okay. Yeah, because
none of this is conscious, of course.
Right.
You know.
Sarah asked, what is punishment? And Cheyenne said something like not being allowed to play, not being able to play. Mm-hmm. And what she wanted to do in that minute to change the subject was to play.
So right, like that's her Sarah that's her coping it. Mechanism. Charlie acknowledges acting mean when sad or angry. We didn't see any kind of awareness at that level. Placed toward uncharacteristic direction if Charlie seems to be unaware or lacking in knowledge of his or her internal difficulties. That seems to be more likely. What
she did say that she pushes her sister when she's angry. I don't know if she said angry or something along those lines. But she did say something about, like, when I feel blank, I do this. So that's maybe a little bit.
That would certainly count. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I've got that. I would mentioned pushing sister.
She mentioned something like that's before she was talking about getting punished. She's like, oh, sometimes what happens when you get punished? And she said, like, oh, if I do this, or if I get mad, I push my sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then her punishment is
not
in the room or
53 7 6 6 1 2 3
good one to
4 5 1 6 Yikes. How many coders do we have? 3 6 Yeah, 10. So everything ranging from 7 to 1. Whoa. So the order here is Leia is first, Sylvia is second, Ajua is third, Stephanie is fourth, Maria is fifth. Is that right?
Yes, that's centered. I have on 6.
Sorry about this.
What is the number?
53, the item number.
Yeah, Laura's fifth, sorry. Jennifer Meter is sixth. Jason seventh. Jennifer Anderson is eighth. Dustin's ninth. And Maria is tenth. So remember your order. The order is just who sends me the two sorts first. That's the order.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
The truth emerges.
It is. I had a blackout situation last Wednesday. That
that's
was
okay,
fun.
You're alive. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get as high as you did every week, you know, take as much time as you want.
And in a blackout.
That was a joke. I felt so funny.
All there was to do is cue so if you could read the cards.
Need some candles.
Yeah.
Flashlights.
Oh my gosh. We need to make a book for like all the situations.
So let's see. The ones were who's number 4 and number 9? 4 was Stephanie, right? And who was 9? Was it Jennifer Anderson? No, it was Dustin.
Yeah.
You wanted to say it again.
I wasn't sure. I was like,
yeah, right. So.
And I'm what number 1?
You 1 as far as she's not aware of her own internal difficulties. Now I might agree with you, but Maria claims, and Laura's backed it up with her notes, that Cheyenne mentioned feeling angry at her sister and then hitting her? Or
yes, I don't think that is awareness, though.
Well, what exactly did she say?
She was talking about when she gets punished and, like, she was giving an example of a time she might get punished when she hit her sister.
But she said something like, I get angry and
hit my sister.
So that might
then
have
she
like,
would get punished.
I don't know.
She never made a link that she was angry, like, with Sarah for the interpretation. It was very...
No, not that. Definitely not that. I mean, I just
saw that child acknowledges acting mean when sad or angry and hitting, I thought, mean, and she said she was sad
yeah,
or angry.
Yeah, no,
so.
you're right.
But, yeah.
But it was only one instance, so.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
A swallow does make a summer.
Yeah. I just had 1,000.
I'm confused by the description on this one.
Yeah.
Because it says placed toward characteristic direction of child verbalizes or expresses through play. So does it have to be through play?
No, verbalizes or expresses through play. awareness of his or her difficulties in conflict. So it could be either verbalizing or expressing through play.
Got it.
You see?
Yeah.
Either channel of communication would count. She verbalized.
Right.
So I think that example automatically disqualifies a one. I would say maybe a four. Can we agree on that? So let's see who put a four.
Let's call it a four.
Jason. Nailed it.
Now, this might come in more handy when we look at the real videotapes in which the child's going to play a little bit more. It's a younger child. But when it says expresses through play, awareness, now if the child has like a little boy doll and, you know, a little boy doll is having these difficulties, but the child is not like making any connection that the boy doll represents him, does that still count?
Let's say the boy doll hits his brother.
Uh-huh. Would that be awareness?
And he says, you know, Johnny's mad at his brother, so he hit him. That counts.
That counts. He doesn't have to say, sometimes I do that to my brother too.
No. That's why he expresses through play.
Okay.
We call that awareness and displacement.
Okay.
He's displacing his own awareness onto the characters. So that would count. That's where you make the distinction between verbalizes. It's all verbalization, right? But verbalizes as in referring to himself, or verbalizes as far as attributing a certain insightful quality to the character. Either way, it would count.
I think the reason I put in police characteristic is because I thought she was like purposely trying to like not be aware of things. So I thought it was like, the exact opposite of what the art was saying. Or that was my two.
Like she's playing stupid, or
no? I thought she was trying to purposely avoid. I guess if she's purposely avoiding it, she's aware of it, but...
Well, you don't want to overthink these cards. Right?
Yeah,
you just want to stay to the manifest content.
Right.
So, in the manifest content, did she convey awareness or didn't she?
It sounds like you're talking about defensiveness, and there is a card for that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what I was doing.
But I know what you're saying, because that's what I was thinking, too, because I felt like she was very defended, but maybe I completed that card with it a little bit, too.
That's true.
Like 58.
58?
Because when I think of awareness, I think of her being like, well, you know, I really got angry when you told me... You know, when you brought up that subject, because it's so such a touchy subject.
It's like the ideal
patient. It's like a therapist dream.
Right. You know, what's deflating when I look at these videos myself is that I've been supervising this case. I supervised it for 3 years. Right? You,
Chris. No, Linnea,
Chris.
And Chris.
Oh, right. Not you. Linnea, Chris, and Sarah.
What about the one before Linnea? There was somebody before Linnea.
It was Kia, but I didn't. I wasn't a supervisor on that case then. On this case.
With the same girl.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So they try to keep the same supervisor, different therapist each year, and for this case, she was in the clinic forever. You know, so I got to supervise the case for 3 years. But here she is in her third year with me as supervisor, and you know, what kind of insight has she gained? It's a little disappointing from a supervisor's
point of view.
I see it so
opposite, having seen Linnea's tapes.
Okay.
I see her as coming so far, like, in the tapes from 2 years ago, she, like, had all these tantrums and, like, eruptions and all this splitting of the therapist and her mother, and, you know, she's a lot more together now. Now you can, one could argue that she's more defended now. Like, maybe her defenses have been shored up a little bit, but maybe that's...
Let's see what happens on her birthday.
I mean, this was like, when she was 2 years younger.
Yeah,
so
I mean, these are practice,
these
so we're not as
stringent
about keeping you blind as we are going to be with Laura's.
So and
progress.
In general, like, she does seem a lot more together. She's also older, so that
she's also
helps.
Older. So the confound of age.
But at the same time, like, she left the session. That was the part that like struck me on two videos. My car, child had a hard time leaving the session, was not in 9. So, or
she got a little better.
So the whole separation, like, I thought that was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, I don't know, like, in the defenses piece, like, we know that this child is not so neurotic. That wasn't her problem in the first place.
Right.
So the fact that her defenses are being stronger, I think it's a good thing. Because that's what she needs.
Depends upon your theoretical point of view.
Yeah. Well, but like if you look at it, you know, like she was, you know what I'm saying? Like she was very splitting, very primitive.
Yeah, she's
in that
contained
sense.
Now, but is it contained because she's integrated her split off objects?
Now
or is she contained
like so
because she's defended against being. Exactly.
And this good.
She's very grandiose. Like she's developed a grandiose self that maybe is protecting her from maybe some split off hostile
like
objects in her. Yeah.
From the
but her behavior
in the,
is more controlled. So.
Her behavior is more controlled.
Was that the goal of the therapy is the question, but she is more under control. Like I can see her functioning in school.
But you know, it's
you know,
not, you know, from a psychodynamic point of view, it's not just the goals. You know, that's how cognitive behaviors think. That's not how
CBT
we think.
Wise, she's
what's the
so
means
far.
To the goal? The means to the goal might be that she got basically supportive psychotherapy from these students and her defenses have been shored up. And now she has a steel wall around her that's protecting her from all kinds of vulnerabilities, but, you know, she's really not an integrated personality.
She went to the other extreme a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's over-controlled.
At the same time, like, I think, like, the value of having once a week, that supportive piece of the psychotherapy, I think, should not be under, you know, because this child doesn't have much of that. Doesn't have much of a space, much of a ear to listen, like attention. So like that in itself, I think it was compensatory of whatever she's lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know, like I think maybe it's not, you know, maybe could have she gotten more? Of course, like none of us is like an expert or, you know, the best therapist on the planet. But I think that was, you know, she doesn't have that in her life. So that's
she
something.
Does not. We won't go into the historical details, but bad childhood, how's that?
I know a lot about her because Sarah presented her in class multiple times last year. So, you know, as her, one of her cases was like, I know, aside of like the coding that I learned from, there was the other side, it was inevitable, you know, in this professional development seminar, this child came up a lot, and another classmate of mine was treating the sister. So, you know, every time one of the two would present, it was like,
You get to know each other's cases pretty well. It's good practice.
Yes.
Item 11.
Sexual feelings or thoughts emerge.
Oh, are you wondering if they were avoided or?
Yeah,
it's only
I mean,
one
because
person
because
that was
what the conversation. I've struggled with this one.
Hmm? Yeah, you're the only one who's discordant. So that's why it's struggled. Does it make sense? Everybody's 5 and you're 2.
Oh.
5 or 6.
Yeah, I put 2 because I felt like, was that an opportunity to avoid it? Because we're talking about having your period, which means she
changes
a baby, which, you know, like, so, like, you know, and being excited about it. So I thought, you know, is this something that's avoided being talking about? What comes with that?
You know, I had the same thought. I had exactly the same thought that I thought she talked about her grandfather and wanting to be with her uncle.
Dance.
And then have
the dance.
The baby, the dance, the Valentine, or is it Valentine's
dance?
Yeah.
It's so weird that for the Valentine's dance they have to bring their fathers or their grandfathers.
It's so sexualized.
It's so edible. It's just really like, can't they just have a Valentine's dance with all the kids? You know, like,
you keep it
we need to bring a dance partner.
You
gotta be like,
the male
feeling, but you have to
bring
a male.
So I'm the only person that, right? You gotta bring the
Yeah, you gotta bring like a male family member. And Sarah said something like, you know, do most people bring their dads? And Cheyenne said, yeah, and then like went
exactly,
away from that
exactly.
pretty quickly, which I thought was interesting.
But what about gay children?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly.
You're like telling them you're
we'll
wrong to the get-go.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely.
Our country is,
it's institutionalized homophobia.
And also, like, the children that don't have, like, an available father figure, like, they notice that they have the uncle and they have to explain, no,
exactly.
that's my uncle. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Well, how about the grandfather?
Yeah, it's like,
it's,
why?
It's even visibly more apparent. The guy is two generations away, you know. So, so 11, yeah, everybody was kind of in the middle pile except for Jason.
Well, because you had a good thought.
No, I'm with you, but when you QSOAR, you have to keep in mind that you're just looking at the manifest content. You're not doing all the mental machinations that psychodynamic therapists do. Right. I mean, I was right along with you there, and I was thinking that too, that there's some underlying sexual component that's going on that's just under the surface. But because it's not manifest, it's not on the surface, we can't code it.
And if Sarah had brought it up, and then Cheyenne didn't connect with that, then...
So what's confusing to me is because this uses the word suppressed in the description for uncharacteristic. So that's why I thought in terms of, you know, this is something that...
Well, or if sexual thoughts seem to be avoided or suppressed.
Right.
Well, in a way, you could, like, argue that.
So I thought that kind of were.
And she did not express sexual
abuse. So I shouldn't think of that. This item in that way, well, then I'll be more on par with it.
It's suppressed if, let's say, Sarah brought it up and then she ran away from the subject. Then it's suppressed. I mean, there's a difference between repression and suppression.
Right. Yeah,
repression is is something that's goes on out of your awareness.
Right.
Suppression is something you're actively doing within yourself. You know that you have a thought or a feeling and you are choosing to avoid it. That's suppression. So I don't know that these sexual thoughts were in her consciousness to begin with. So you can't suppress something that's not in her conscious awareness.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think my thing was, like, when I first did the QSOAR, I ended up with like 40 cards and 5 because I'm like, I don't think any of these were relevant. So
that's not bad, because actually you should have 50 cards in 5.
I might have.
And then they get spread out among the 3 piles, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. So I feel like what Jason was saying, I feel like that, because of that thought, that they did talk about these things which seem to, like, toy around this line of...
Toy around.
Like, feminine, you know, emerging femininity and, like, this adolescence and all that stuff. So I feel like it might have been more, I guess, kind of characteristic. It seemed a little bit more that way than not to me.
That's the kind of thing, if you gotta put something down a little bit, like, you put in 4, if it's a little bit down.
Yeah. Exactly. So very good. Yeah, for this exercise, yeah. But next year, if you're in supervision with me, you get a gold star for that.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
22. It talks about a fear of punishment. Now, she never talked about fear. I never got the feeling. She never explicitly said that she's afraid that she's going to get punished. She just said, she was just describing what happens when she does get something. So, yeah, it was a theme, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm worried that I'm going to get punished. And so I put that somewhat to the middle, but slightly, I put it as a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if that was, that logic is...
I think it was mentioned again.
Because it's mentioned.
Yeah, me too.
But it's not really...
Yeah, it was a 6.
And I also thought there were times when she had an expectation of being praised or protected.
Yeah.
So that sort of counterbalanced
a
little bit, right?
She did seem to. Yeah.
When she's so grandiose and she's so good at everything, that's sort of an expectation that people will praise her.
Yeah, that's what I thought of the opposite. I'm like, she doesn't fear being punished. She
one of the times when it kind of
seems like she
out.
Expects to get praised.
All right, so what do we have here? We've got, this is 22, right? 3, 7, 4, 9, 6, 6, 6, 3, 3, 6. So who was the 9? Who was number 4? Is that you?
I don't know what, because the description, it talks about, can you just go back to the description?
Yeah.
This one has somewhere or something is a potential source of pain, injury, pain, or harm, or evil. I feel like she always talks about her friend, and all these people that do these evil, harmful, hurtful things to her. So I felt like that was a consistent theme. Not necessarily her being punished, but that second part.
Which, how much did she say that in this particular session?
Well, she also talked about, like, her parents punishing her, and they make her stay in her room and not be able to watch TV.
Yeah, but is she afraid of that?
Well, she said she didn't like it.
She just said she didn't like it, but it's but she didn't fear that it would happen to her. She, I mean, she doesn't like it when it does, but it didn't sound like she was worried that it was going to happen.
Yeah, fear is an emotion about a future event. It's, yeah. It's referent in the future. So.
And then she also talked about another friend, like when she was about to go on stage, her friend encouraged her mm-hmm. beforehand. So yeah. That's sort of praised and protected. So like, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, those parts. But then maybe counterbalanced by praise exactly. and protection, it's more towards the middle.
So you have to read both ends of the continuum here. If you read the uncharacteristic end and you remember then the other aspects of this session, you have to then move to the middle, I would think. So I think somewhere in the middle would be the most appropriate rating. So anyone who is in the middle, fours to sixes, I think would be appropriate. So we had a couple of threes and a 7. 3. Who had the 7?
Yeah, I did.
I guess I...
Because I was thinking...
Sorry. Yeah. I was just thinking about her expecting to be praised. I'm talking about her spot and the period when she first brought it up. I felt like she wanted Sarah to be like...
yeah.
You know, it was like...
Very crying.
Yeah.
But does she express the expectation? You can kind of sort of feel it in the air, but does she say, you know, I expect you to be praising me. Come on now.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm wonderful.
Well,
I can sing and dance. Come on.
I think just from some of the other stuff she was telling her, like,
yeah.
I'm the smartest kid in the class. I mean, is that, like, she was trying to fish for praise or something.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was smart in math, reading, and science.
Talking about the talent show, and I was going up on stage by myself.
In front of, like, she had 4,000.
Yeah, she did.
The therapist did not draw distinctions between fantasy and reality.
That's exactly what I thought.
The next Lady Gaga here.
I was like, good job, Sarah. Just ride with it. It might be 4,000, might be 4. Just go with it. She's proud.
What do you think,
that's
Jason?
That's so funny. I don't see that as expressing an expectation of being praised. Those things. Like, if she said, isn't that great? Like, that's, like, then I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like she's just
bragging. Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between explicit and implicit. I think there's probably an implicit expectation of praise, but we're looking at only the explicit, only the manifest. And there isn't that great? Don't you agree? We don't hear any of that. So I don't think you can code it that way.
Like, I wanted to go back to what Jason was talking about the sexual one.
Yeah.
In terms of, I think that he has a good point in the sense that what if Sarah was also avoiding, you know, like, oh, you got your period. What is that about? You know, the period has a sexual connotation. You could potentially be pregnant from now on. You know, there is definitely, I don't know if the child is informed of that. Or I don't know what her situation is with that.
That's the point. We don't know. So you can't code something that we don't actually know about.
So you don't think that there was an avoidance on Sarah's part as well to sort of address the sexual connotation of that comment?
We're assuming it's sexual, and I think it is, but I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sarah should have said, you know, should have explored it with her. She didn't do that, but I wouldn't code that. I mean, that issue, just the menstruation
well,
in and of itself, is a health issue.
Right, and that's how I quoted it.
It's
but
not a sex issue yet.
Point.
It's a health issue. And there's another item for that.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And that went high.
Somatic issues.
Yeah.
I think she kind of, I mean, she said when she got her period, she goes, what did you do? And then she describes it. And she said, how did you feel? It seems like you're excited. And then she asked her, how come you're so excited
right.
about it? Which could lead into a discussion of that. It didn't. But so I don't think she was necessarily avoiding it.
It's a very good point. Yeah, so she wasn't in this case. She thought about it, maybe the child didn't beat it, and it's a sensitive subject, you don't even know if it was ever even said to her, the whole connection between the two, you hope so, but...
At least consciously, it seems like to Cheyenne, it's more connected with, like, growing up, like, being
yeah.
first in her class,
yeah.
and being kind of
advanced and special.
You know,
yeah, I don't know that she
connects
it sexually, and I think,
yeah.
you know, it might be kind of theoretical to assume that that's kind of a sexual thing, and we might be getting a little too like psychoanalytic.
Right, I think that's a great point.
Remember to be objective.
It's definitely not.
The health issues card is different.
But
from somatic,
you think
it?
Very psychoanalytically. Yeah, yeah, clearly. Was it? That, so
there's somatic bodily movement. Yeah. Or something.
There's a health and
somatic is the one that talks about them expressing like physical.
Physical symptoms or health are discussed. That's 14.
The somatic one is like talking about a headache or.
Oh, okay.
Or that's saying, I thought that one's saying that it's like anxiety is causing the physical symptoms or something, like psychosomatic.
So for the health one, actually, everybody put in kind of fives, sixes.
So which one?
The health one.
Yeah, because I think there's something about somatic complaints or. Yeah.
Which one is this?
What's physical that? Symptoms or health are discussed. Now this says.
But there's another one that's more relevant.
16? There's
yeah,
discussion
yeah,
or evidence of bodily functions.
One.
Okay, 16. Let's see where. Let's see how you guys do with that one.
7, 8, 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 8, 7, 8, 7, 9, 9, 8, 8.
Woohoo! Sounds like a figure skating competition.
Yeah. With no falling.
Yeah.
Nobody fell on that one. You guys get the gold, yes!
We should do Keystone Olympics.
It's more like gymnastics. Get that.
See who's getting good.
You guys are sticking the landing, yes.
Did
they do
figure
skating? Yes. Yeah, they did the pair.
Watched it.
They're doing the men's singles.
Singles.
So tonight is
oh,
the long program for men's singles.
Of what? Of figure skating?
Yeah.
They already did couples.
This has absolutely.
Couples are really good.
How about women?
And Jason.
No, they're last. Last. They're always last.
Jason
but
is all
there's something wrong with these Olympics. It seems like their facilities don't.
They've had problems.
Like
it seems like the group wants to change
the
subject.
What does that mean?
Now you guys want to play, right?
Sorry.
So,
where's the Play-Doh?
Wait a second.
What is this?
You don't know cranium?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was when you started playing.
They have it out in the lobby. We'll play afterwards. Because
there's just bring all these games. I was like, well, I don't know how to play
these. Yeah, is that part of the
well,
training?
Well, your patient will teach you.
Yeah.
Their way of playing.
Or tell you how to play.
I love how Sarah's like, oh, so I'm supposed to give you the... Oh, okay.
Oh, you just hop over all my pieces in one turn? Oh, all right. You have to play your special way.
Yeah, I only want to
get used to losing games.
So what else? What other questions do we have?
Were there any other big plans?
Yeah, from looking at them. Is there a way to look at it where, like that just shows us which ones were the most...
Off.
The least reliable, I guess?
Yeah, it's hard when we have so many. It'll be easier to see when we're in pairs.
Pair.
We'll see where the... We'll
yeah, I mean, you just have to kind of eyeball it.
Maybe... What's that one that has 3, 7, 4? Oh, no, I think we already did that one.
Which one is that?
1878. It might be one we've done already, though.
That is item 23.
We already did it.
We did it?
23?
Therapy session has a specific focus or theme.
No, we didn't do that.
We did.
That is a hard one.
Yeah, we always had difficulty
with
that.
We had a hard time with that last week too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of...
But even when we coded Linnae's sessions, we had difficulty.
It's just so hard because there'll be like big themes, but because the session's 45 minutes, there's always going to be like
well, this
more
session
more
was only 37 minutes for some reason.
Yeah,
sure. It's
yeah.
a
maybe
short session.
She might have come
late.
Yeah. That's what I guess.
I thought it was all over the place. They talked about like so many different things. I mean, they talked about growing up and relationships with, you know, or the dance. And the, I mean, I guess they could fall under some umbrella themes, but I mean, and... Get it, you know, the punishment, and then what else? You know, it just seemed like it was kind of, for me, it seemed like it was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Not completely. I put it at a 2, almost completely.
I thought it was all over, but not, it could be a lot worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I picture like a child being a 2. I mean, this is my head. when they're like all over, like literally like from one thing to the other, like ADHD kind of.
This is the ADHD card, right?
Right.
Oh, is it? Oh,
I mean, my head, it's an ADHD card.
Oh, I wasn't thinking, I was thinking like not physically, but like mentally all over.
That too, like, you know, if you have a child that like cannot stick to the same topic for 2 seconds and then like jumps and jumps and jumps, she doesn't do that. She like kind of like stays with the same topic for a while, then like kind of switches over. Like it, sometimes it's like a conversation that you know, it goes to some other subject, but it's not, at least I don't perceive it as, well, what just happened here? Like, why are we doing this now?
Yeah, it's not like I had my period and then I also slept over my friend's house the other day. It was great. We made friends.
Do you want to play Cranium?
Yeah. This is what you think of latency age, girl. I know. Period sleepovers. Oh my goodness.
See, in the wording, like, switching like that so fast.
The wording on this one where it
single
says
a few
interactions
primary.
Kept to a single or a few primary.
So it could be a couple main ones.
Yeah, it could be a couple of them. So how would we define them? What would they be if we thought about this session?
Growing up.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Being the best.
Being the best.
The punishment, a little bit.
Punishment.
The game.
Okay, punishment.
Oh, and she talked about, and I don't know what this would fall under, being a... She was talking about the talent show and nervous about messing up.
Having that perfect.
And yeah, why is it important not to make a mistake?
Because that was had in my head with the self-image, sort of being the best.
Yeah, self-image. Self-image and punishment, maybe we could put together. So that's four. Is that...
What's going to the dance?
It's like Grandpa. A Wonder Years episode, really.
I know.
Growing up.
Yeah.
That's part of growing up. So the question is whether four foci is a few or multiple.
And also, and the fact that it goes on is, as, for example, child plays out or conveys repetitively his desire to be the sole object of another's attention. So to me, that like seemed like the thing comes back, which maybe is, like, I guess maybe I didn't look at these as all being under the same umbrella as much as.
I don't know, it's probably like a natural, like for a child, and that, like,
well, yeah, I definitely think they were fluid, but I think they were still pretty distinct.
Yeah.
And it didn't, I don't know, and it didn't seem to be focused towards something, you know, it was just sort of like, let's talk about this, and then let's talk about this.
But yeah, it didn't seem to have a, this is what
direction.
We're working on, this is what
I don't know.
In terms of focus, theme.
Yeah.
How about a four?
I think I was just thinking that so rarely ever happens that it's so different than like an adult therapy session when you come in and you're like,
but you know, you would expect some kind of consistent one or two themes throughout an entire play episode.
Right.
But we don't have that in this, and that's why I would go more
less.
Lower than higher. I would say a four. So, but no one put a four.
Three.
Threes and fives, I could see. But I think it was just too, there's too much diversity to score higher than a six, I would say.
I guess in my head it just had her, like, I imagine that this is a self-identity theme, and I guess that I umbrella, like, all the sort of being the best and being afraid is sort of the same, two sides of the same coin.
I put a 9 for that.
I put an 8 for that.
Yeah.
I also think, like, it depends how the session develops, at least in my head, like, you know, that's a very good point, but I feel like if the client presents it as connected, you know, and about my development, I mean, she won't say about my development, but, like, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know,
and even development is placed in the context I'm the best because I'm the fastest. I'm the first one with my period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about growing up, but it's also about being the best and being great, and this grandiosity theme even pervades her vision or her perception of her maturity. So if you really want to look at it, it's really down to three or two themes.
Yeah. It sort of depends on how, you know, how superficially you look at the session or if you do all this thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right.
This is my, you know, my problem, because I can think of, like, one of my friend's nephews who I hung out with a little bit because we're all in the same place. And, like, for, like, literally 20 minutes, he talked about the same thing. And you know, and so I was like, I didn't like see.
How
like,
old is he?
I'm diagnosing
about,
all over the place. I'm telling myself to stop.
12. But so like I'm just like I was like I don't like for me I'm like trying to look at this and not say, you know, well, she's a kid so she did really good by only talking about these few things, because I think there are kids who are only going to talk about one thing and there are kids who are going to talk about 1,000 things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just gotta look at this kid in the session.
You know, the fact that we're having so much discussion about this suggests to me it probably should go in 5. Mm. You know, if we don't know, if you really don't know and you're not sure, it goes in pile 5. So that would be Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in 5. Because if you really don't know.
I never have enough uncharacteristic. It's so hard for me to get things
over. Yeah. It will get more even. Like now, like I'm off.
Because
like,
this one probably started out as 4.
On each big pile.
Really?
That's like I have good. Like, I don't know, 28. I don't know, 22, and something like that.
I do them in 9 piles from the get-go, and it's always off by about 2 or 3. Like, they, like, come out equal. It's like magic.
This is something I also wanted to bring up. I happened to just pick mine up, and when I like, picked them up last time...
Oh, try to shuffle
up,
them.
They ended up, yeah, and so or I didn't shuffle, be, like, so I was like, oh, and here are the ones, order, here are a lot of the ones I thought characteristic. Oh, but I don't think that one this time. But, like, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to throw things off and whether we all need to do the same kind of shuffling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta shuffle them or else it's going to, you're going to Q-sort them kind of.
Yeah, do the Q-sort shuffle.
I always put Cheyenne in this one for this card.
Shuffle.
You know, try to forget about it.
Okay, so that's good. So that'll help.
Yeah, shuffle.
But at the same time, it helps when you do that because of that. Because sometimes, like, I don't know, for example, the leaving card. You really, you know, it makes you think. You know, like, no, this time she was not like that.
Yeah, but you want to just forget about any previous sessions. No memory, no desire.
So otherwise you're going to be tempted Wilfred to put Dion. It more extreme because you're going to be thinking in contrast to usual.
Right, you're rating these items in relation to each other, not in relation to some gold standard or in relation to past sessions.
Right.
You take each 45-minute unit as its own entity, forgetting everything else that you know about this patient, previous videos, you know, really, if you really wanted to have accurate, valid, reliable data, you should assemble a new coding team for each session. Really, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
You know, the resources are so lacking, we wouldn't be able to do that, but really, that's the way you would do it. You'd have one session that you code, and then I reassemble another team to code another session. We can't do that, so inevitably, you're going to have some carryover effects from previous sessions that you code. That's unfortunate, but it's inevitable.
At least we'll randomize them, so you're going to see this kid across 2 years. So you might have him like age 6 in one, and then age 8 in another. So that'll help you.
Oh, so he's you and Shlomo?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
this is fascinating. I want to see Shlomo's session. I've never seen that.
It's a boy. He started at age 6, and he ended at age 8. So you can keep in mind sort of developmentally that's where he should be. But that's about all I can tell
you. Could do that, like, with the teams. If you had, like, if you're coding a bunch of patients in a bigger study, and you could, like, you know, each... You know, I'd say Dustin and I are a team. We call Cheyenne today, and they got a boy, and then, but you need like as many patients.
If I had an NIMH $1 million grant, you know, I could do that.
You don't.
This speaks to my lack of knowledge in terms of like the actual like research statistical side of things, but is this like this Q set, like? Would like what we come to as being reliable between us going to be comparable to what somebody else, a whole different group, would then be?
Like if someone else
is it validated in that way? Where
theoretically, it should. I mean, there is
it's
no.
Validated in that way.
That's why you know there are some coding systems where you have like national centers,
yeah.
And you go to get training, like the AAI, the Adult Attachment Interview. You go to Berkeley, you train with Mary Main. You know,
so everybody does it the same way. So
exactly, and then she has like 30 interviews that she uses as her gold standard for training, and she coded those, and whatever her codes are, that's it.
Right.
Because she developed the coding system. So then you have to code those 30 interviews, and you either are reliable or you're not.
Right.
And then you get certified, and you actually get a certification, and you can then code for various research teams. And some people just do that, and they make a living doing it.
You make a good living doing
it? A fairly good one, yeah. I know several people who do it. You know, you charge like $150 per AAI to code, and you've got all kinds of researchers who are coming to you with data to code. You just sit home and you read AAIs all day and you code them. That wouldn't be a very exciting career for me, but for somebody else that might be really interesting.
But what about this? Do they have it for this?
No, you see, what I'm saying is that there are certain coding systems for which you have like international centers where you go to get training, and there are coding interviews that you'd have to code, and then you get reliable with a certain person.
So
and that person is the gold
standard.
No.
So you can't.
Strange situations, same thing. You go to Minnesota. I was trained by Alan Stroth to look at strange situations. I got certified to code strange situations. And then we can then code people's data with the strange situation. But you have that kind of quality control. This is, I mean, this instrument was literally developed in 2004. That's less than 6 years ago. There's nothing, we're one of the first groups to even use it. Not even Celeste is using it.
So who
right
did
now.
You who did you remember when you sent Kia's session out to somebody else?
Yes.
Who screwed up basically, and you paid them.
Yes.
Who are these people?
These were Enrico Jones's colleagues, Stuart Ablon, and Ray Levy at Harvard.
Okay.
And they looked at, I mean, if we had a video that everybody disagreed on violently.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would send the video to them. But see, they're adult people. They're not child people. I would send the video to Celeste, probably, and she would review it and code it. We would pay her, and then we'd have her coding matched against what you guys did.
Okay.
We could do that.
So if this hasn't been used very much, how do we know how reliable it is? Or that?
Well, it's partly being quality controlled because two independent people are viewing. Right, everybody's going to be paired up. And so your partner and you are the ones who are going to be really determining the inter-rater reliability. And we take the mean of all the inter-rater reliability quotients from each session.
And it can't be used if you're not agreeing on stuff. Like if your reliability isn't high enough, then you can't use it, right?
Well, it's really low, we'd have to give it to another team to code.
Are we learning to see it the same way?
What's that?
Are we learning to see it the same way?
That's what we're doing
so
here.
It's only useful for us. Because another group could learn to see it a different way, so then you can't look at the two together.
Well,
to say that this card means this to us,
yeah.
And that means them to them, so...
But
for
Jeff's
what?
For.
Yeah,
he
and
is
we're in touch
like
with
the
Celeste to develop the measure, too, so she's sort of the final say. I think your question was more like, is this measure valid? And
oh, I didn't mean internally. I didn't mean like with us. I meant
as
that
testing as of the internal validity of each of the items she had people
right,
coding
right,
them.
Right, right. That's what
in
I
order
asking.
To like,
oh,
you know,
okay.
They got rid of extraneous items that never varied,
right,
and then they sort
they
of, you know, consolidated.
Analysis or
oh yeah, all of that.
That was her dissertation.
But
was
I mean,
developing
how,
this and sort of pilot testing.
And also these items.
But we're kind of pilot testing it because
yeah,
it's so new.
That's
I mean,
true.
This could be thought
that's
of as sort
cool
of pilot
though.
Work.
These items
yeah,
were developed yeah. So that they have actual behavioral anchors so that they don't require a lot of inference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you did a little bit of inference on that one item and we talked about it. So your question is really answered by the robustness of the items. I think the items themselves are very powerful and behaviorally anchored so that if you get reasonable people together, you people are not crazy people. You know, you're all pretty fairly normal people. You're all going to see things relatively the same way. Now, if we took these videos and showed them to inpatient, you know, inpatient psychotic, inpatient unit, you might get a very different ratings from those people. But you guys are all fairly well-adjusted people. You're all either clinical psych students or training to be clinical psych students, and you know, I have faith that you are going to see things generally the same way. And these coding team meetings are generally used for tweaking your perceptions. We're trying to tweak your perceptions, help you understand the items, the wording, what it means. And I, you know, I trust the process that it's going to work out. And that if we had another team that was similarly trained, they would also see these items the same way. But the items themselves went through a very rigorous selection process. I mean, extremely rigorous. It was a Berkeley dissertation. And Celeste did a magnificent job. You read her dissertation. So these items were really tested very carefully. And I think that they're going to do well.
Somebody else doesn't have a team can pay us.
Well, look, there are going to be future projects coming along. I mean, Celeste and I actually have a project coming where we're going to recode Linnae's data. But you were already involved in coding Linnae's data. But there are other and once you get trained here, there are going to be other things coming down the pipeline. And so, if you want to make some money, be
and
good
this
to
data
keep doing
is available. This data, Linnae's data,
yeah.
keys, like some of these data samples are available.
I will make something up just for you.
So does that mean we can't be trained like to do AIs, like unless we were to go to Berkeley?
Exactly.
So students don't use AI for their dissertation here?
No, unless they have some money, either out of their own pocket or from a grant, to pay somebody to code. Like, I have money from the International Psychoanalytic to code AAIs, and I use somebody at University of Delaware.
I got you, okay.
Who's coding my data.
Okay.
Actually, it's data you entered some of it.
Yeah, the transcript.
Remember that? Yeah.
But if you spontaneously go to Berkeley and get that training and pay for it, then you could.
And got reliable with Mary Mann.
Yeah, like, got the training and certified.
Then you set up shop as an official certified AA coder. You can advertise yourself. And researchers from all over the world will contact you and contract with you to pay for their sample being coded. I mean, the AAI is the gold standard for adult attachment. And people all over the world use it. And so it's a very valuable skill to have. The training is difficult. I don't want people to think, oh, this is easy money. It's not. I went through the training. And I didn't get reliable. So it's not some, and I had a student go through the training, not a student here, but a student at Columbia. He went through the training. He didn't get reliable. I mean, it's hard. I didn't try real hard to do it, but I didn't get reliable.
Can you try again?
Yeah, you can try again. Yeah, you definitely can. If you're not reliable in the first 30, she gives you another 30, a second 30.
Then you're not. He tells you, okay, like, you're not meant for the
transcripts.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how many sets of 30 she has.
Untrainable. Oh, yeah, exactly. So you're just reading transcripts and then
Yeah. Yep.
And then choosing what type of attachment pattern you think that person has.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just you're choosing between the four at the end.
Yeah.
Or is there more to
that's,
it?
No, well, you have rating scales, but I don't think you establish reliability in the rating scale. You establish reliability on the four classifications.
Wow.
So it's either...
So you're either right or you're wrong.
You're either right or you're wrong.
Out of
it's
four.
Categorical.
Oh, so that's
wow.
So categorical.
Mm. Yeah.
So you say disorganized.
Yeah.
Secure.
A, B, C, D. And in the adult version, it's U, E, F, and D, S.
Do they have anything to check reliability over time?
What do you mean?
Like, say you become reliable and you do it for... 5 years, do they ever...
Oh, if there's been iterator drift?
Yeah.
I don't think Mary has that. I don't think you have to become... I don't think there's a process in place where you get recertified or...
Because what if you, know, like, right? have, like, a period of time when you don't do it for a few months? Maybe you might get misty. I know. Yeah.
No, you're probably right, but... No one would ever use the AI then, because it would just be too damn difficult.
Damn.
But they require that, like, as a psychotherapist, like, when you're a licensed psychologist, you have to get certain course credits each year to
continuing education
to stay up in the game with current kind of trends in psychology. So they do that kind of check, but I guess not in the method.
And how much does it cost you?
The training, it's two full weeks. It's in the thousands of dollars. It's not cheap. You have to go out there to Berkeley. Now, she sometimes has trainings, like in other parts of the country, where she'll go to a hotel for 2 weeks and do it, but Berkeley is her center.
It's like a real investment kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an investment. You have to be really committed.
So hopefully she'll set something up.
How old is she?
In case something should happen to her, or...
I think now, by now, she's trained trainers.
Protégé.
Like Marshall Linehan, she's trained.
Exactly, exactly. That's another situation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Start over. With Don Juan and his reliability.
Psychologist like Maine or Linehan,
Okay, let me bitch for a second. Linehan, when she came to Boston to her conference thing, she walked down the room. It was like Jesus walking on water. she's not a very light woman. And she walked. Like, I was like, dude, calm down.
Okay, that was my comment. And I worked with her, and I didn't like her when I worked with her in Seattle.
You worked with Linehan? I didn't know that.
And when I was an undergrad, I was working mostly with her direct assistant, because she's this goddess, and she's in the lab, and nobody knows where she's at.
So,
we'll
put a video up?
Yeah, so I started her today. I forgot last night.
Thank you.
I was too busy watching Ono.
I'll bring you videos next week. I have to look at a few of them, because some of them are... some of them I just need to check.
Yeah, if you want to, like, give it to me, because you know the order, so if you want to make sure...
The order is on the disks, actually, so you're going to have to sort of randomize them,
okay.
My disks say session 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, and there's one on each disk, and then Shlomo's disks say, like, the dates, so the dates are...
Say bye to Jennifer.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye, Jennifer.
She couldn't make it today.